Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Davey, and this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration, to offer you elevated perspectives of perceiving this life for the betterment of yourself, humanity, and your own personal happiness. It's my pleasure to always have our brother Colin on the show today. I'm going to welcome you into the studio here on Dave's Good Vibration Station. How you doing, brother Colin?
Thank you so much. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day.
Man, we always make it a great day, bro. At least we try to. How's your day going, man?
Long, but I'm excited for this topic, so.
Yeah, same. So for those of you that have been avid Vibration Station listeners, you guys know that here on the Vibration Station, we offer you kind of different perspectives of the human experience to essentially open up new pathways of joy, maybe see things from a different light, possibly introduce you to new ideologies or even certain quantum laws that govern our universe, that are starting to be accepted by modern science. So that's kind of what this show is about, is understanding your own empowerment, understanding that you have the capability to create whatever it is that you want for yourself through your deliberate focus, action, intention, and of course, got to go out and grab it. That's what this world is all about. But in the process, you need to stay aligned. And that's what a part of what we'll be talking about today. Of course, everything we talk about here on the Vibration Station has to do with that, the underlying premise of living a happier, healthier, and of course, wealthier lifestyle. So, Colin, it would be my pleasure to actually have you, since you were the one last week when we were talking about this, we were kind of throwing around ideas. You brought this up and you were like, you know what, man, this is something that I've kind of recognized that's been happening in our society. You read, you're very skilled when it comes to Reddit and like reading blogs and staying up to date on, you know, current event information and stuff like that. So if you want, man, I'd love for you to introduce the topic.
Well, I feel like nowadays, our generation is kind of in this middle zone where this quote-unquote gig economy comes into play with our work, because I don't know, back in the day, let's say 50 years ago,
sure,
someone didn't want to go to college, right? But they decided they still want to work, so they just essentially, I'll become a plumber, I'll become an electrician, whatever, like they
and
become
also,
an apprentice,
you know,
with someone.
Whatever dad did, yeah. That's a big thing too. Is
oh yeah,
dad
whatever dad did,
steps, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so like they would just either that or go to college. Obviously, that's kind of similar,
right,
to how it is now. But at the same time, a college degree means way less right now than it did 50 years ago. Like,
right,
the idea, right, of the idea nowadays of not getting a college education is preposterous. It's like, that's,
yeah,
like you're essentially like locking yourself into a cage of, well, what job am I going to have? Like, where am I going to do? Anyway, yes. So what I want to talk about is how do we as the newer generation adjust to jobs where, yes, they pay a lot, Uber, Lyft, deliveries for countless Amazon, Walmart, whatever. Like, all of those jobs are good. They pay a lot in the sense where, like, for a job, you are getting paid, let's say, $20, $25 an hour. That's sure. amazing money. But at the same time, it's not, you're not an employee, so you don't get benefits. You don't get, like, you have to pay for your own car, everything around the car, if that's the kind of gig you're doing. Or, sure. like, you have to pay for everything. And it kind of makes it so we're not really employees. We're robots. I don't know. We're just...
We're kind of like, a slave.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I was just going to say we're kind of a slave to a reoccurring system. It's this pattern that doesn't really allow for growth. And the thing about that also, which you had brought up in conversation last week when we were talking about this, was how these jobs don't offer, you know, benefits or even 401ks. So our parents' generation, you know, the baby booming generation, they first of all, the internet was not an option at the time, right? So a lot of them got locked into a job that offered, you know, benefits for the family, 401k. They worked there for, you know, 30 years. They turned 59 and a half and they retire maybe, you know, or, you know, 62. Yeah, the age to liquidate your 401k today is 59 and a half. So, you know, a lot of people would do that. And then they kind of live off that money. And then they get, you know, government funding coming in, depending on, you know, their situation. So that is a completely different construct. That matrix is not as accessible in today's economy, in today's society, as it was. Another thing, you know, as you were saying, is yes, you can get into a job that you're trading your time for money, where, you know, you're on an hourly rate, which is actually an amazing thing, right? It's phenomenal that you know that you're walking out getting something as opposed to being on a commission-based, you know, situation where you don't know, you have to go out and fiend for yourself, and it's not as stable. So situations like that are definitely, you know, helpful and not only helpful, but a necessity when it comes to, you know, having responsibilities and providing. But where it comes, what it comes down to is, you know, does your job offer a 401k? Do you have the ability to retire? On top of that, are you going to be happy working, you know, 30 years in that career if you do have a retirement account? And even if you don't have a retirement account and to spin off on this, and then I'm ranting, and then I really want to hear what you have to say. But my last piece of this also is the other hand is you put yourself in a position where you're making enough money to support yourself and keep some on the side. Eventually, over time, you know, you save that money, you accumulate, you invest, you educate yourself on how to get your money to work for you while you are working, you know, a 9-to-5 job and on a fixed hourly rate. As long as you have some money left over and you can invest it and you can play with it and you can learn how to get that money to work for you while still doing your 9-to-5, which you enjoy, right? Something that you actually enjoy doing, then, you know, you can open up doors and opportunities for yourself where you can pay for the medical bills if and hopefully not when they come. You can buy a house for cash when that time is right. So there's it's such a different construct that we're in today. And
I think the thing that's getting traded, like the 401k has been there and it is still available to us, even if our employer has nothing to do with it.
Sure.
Regardless, the thing that is getting like out the door is pensions. And pensions were this idea where you worked the same job for 30 years, and
right.
in exchange for like being loyal to your company, you
yes.
the company would let you retire, and then they would pay you a portion of the salary every the same as you did before. Sometimes right. it's even the whole salary for the rest of your life. And right. that idea has gone out the window. I've literally, applying for jobs, I've only seen it in federal jobs or like some state jobs, something government related. They have right. pensions, but the companies don't care about loyalty anymore. They'll fire someone that's yes. been working there 25 years to save themselves the pension.
It's right. so true. Oh my God. It's so true. And that, I mean, that is a much larger problem than a retirement account. That just goes to show also how, you know, we've talked about on previous shows how there's a large movement in our society of family-owned and operated companies. That's why I love family-owned and operated companies and organizations, and I'm a huge fan of people that love and care about each other coming together for the purpose of creating something, putting their collective energy into something, all based around the premise that they care and they want the best for everyone that's participating within that organization. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I think though, what's important is we're fighting back in a way where these gig economies are turning into remote work, which like, I feel like that is something that the previous generation did not have. Like not right. saying nobody, but there's a lot more people nowadays, especially with computer work and the internet, is
right.
we can work full-time jobs from anywhere. And
exactly.
that's what the gig economy has given us is this, like, the idea that we have the freedom to be wherever we want. And those jobs, you can make a full-time job running a website or doing freelance work for Photoshop or web design
right.
or whatever. And you can make right. a total living doing that, traveling all over the place. And that's something our parents could only dream of. The best you exactly. could do was have a business that that paid for your flights and stuff, and you were able to travel and like
exactly
that. But that's way different because you're eventually going to end up at the office again. Like,
of course, of course,
yeah. And so,
perfectly said.
Oh, yeah. Go on.
No. I was just compliment. I was saying perfectly said. No, please go on.
So I follow this subreddit called Digital Nomad, which has inspired me a lot. It's basically the Very idea cool. that people can, like what I was saying, people can travel and do work, but it's this whole, like a bunch of people that just, that's what they do. They try to find ways to help each other. And I think that's what our whole generation should move into because nobody likes going to the office, like nobody. And
sure.
like maybe they like their job, they can do their job from home, they'll like it more and they'll be more productive. And
sure.
I'm not saying that's for everyone, but I really think that's the way that the world should go. It's just everyone working together, but from whatever location they want to move or work in.
That's extremely, I mean, that's an amazing idea too, because when it's a proven thing that when multiple people come together for the same purpose and every single person participating knows that there is benefit out of participating in whatever it is that they're participating in, no matter where you are, no matter what location you are on the planet, you are still going to contribute to building something great. And whatever it is, whatever that is that, you know, these people become a part of, that's where creativity comes in. That's where free will comes in. right? That's where the ability to make the choice to go out and find something that you are passionate about, that other people do around the world that you can connect with and participate in and collectively be a part of and build. I do agree, you know, there's power in numbers. And that's another thing that comes into play here is the tremendous energy that is accumulated when people, when masses amount of people come together, right? And put their heads together for the same purpose. That's when true change happens. And that's why, just to go off on a very slight tangent, not to spend too much time on this, but, you know, that's why there are, that's why there's, you know, staged deception, because they want the masses of the people to disagree with each other. They want the masses of the people to have, to be diversified. They want there to be judgments between everybody, whether it's race, creed, color, sexual orientation, no matter what it is, you know, there is this massive agenda to keep everyone disconnected and almost judgmental towards each other. So when you do come together with unconditional circumstance for the pure purpose of creating something for the betterment of the people involved, and of course, humanity, and of just, you know, like creating something new for the world, helping people out. That's phenomenal, and that's amazing. I think
the coolest thing I've
I'm done.
Okay, please. I think the coolest thing that has come of this is, well, like, yeah, so like doctors and psychologists that are online. I think that is one of, like, that moves us forward. Obviously, we need people that work in hospitals for trauma and stuff. But
of course,
for the most part, you don't need to go to the doctor for a cold. If you're looking for an antihistamine or something to get a prescription, you can get all that online. And it removes the overhead for a doctor. So, like, they don't need to rent an office. Or psychologists, where they have to rent an office, and they're making a lot less than a doctor would. But you could buy a session online, or you could buy like a monthly plan. And the coolest thing I've seen recently is like where there's therapists that for couples or for individuals, where you can just text, like you can just like each, like let's say it's a couple thing, each person can text the therapist and respond, and it can be like an ongoing therapy session, not where it's like venting all at once, but like just over time, just to
run.
The psychologist is still making what they would make in an office, right? No insurance is necessary. And I feel like say you see your therapist once a week, like still, I feel like you would be, I don't know, kind of, it's kind of impersonal when you're able to talk to them all the time. It makes it, I feel like it makes it, I don't know, so much more personal. And in that sense, we need to find more jobs that could do this. Like, more gigs, more ways to remove overhead. Because nobody needs a $2,000 office to do the same thing they can do from their phone. Like, it, I don't know.
No, 100%. No, I couldn't agree more, man. I absolutely couldn't agree more. And the fact that the internet has given us the capability to do these things is amazing and is wonderful. And actually, this topic kind of unexpectedly pulls into another facet of, you know, kind of what's going on in the job industry, which is robotic automation. You know, so robotic automation, which I'm sure you're aware of, is a word for computers taking over people's jobs. So, for example, self-checkout stands at a grocery store. You know, before there was the technology for self-checkout, or at least before they made it commercialized, that was someone that was being hired to do that job. They had to be there physically. Now, granted, the self-checkout system does not pay anyone, does not pay a teller for, you know, I mean, there's one teller that manages like, you know, seven stations, right? So if someone needs help,
yeah, but back in the day, those tellers made a lot of money. Like,
right.
It was a very, exactly. It was a very sought after job. Nowadays, it's a minimum wage job.
Right. And there was like, I mean, tremendous benefits. And another huge thing, poll and reason why people would work for grocery stores is the discount on food. Right. So there's like all, you know, all these perks in all these different jobs. And I guess, you know, to harness back into the purpose of what we're talking about today is, you know, the job system is different. The construct of economy today is completely separate and opposite from how economy was run and operated when our parents were working. And that's also something that being a millennial and being in this generation, and I mean, listeners, this is for any generation. It doesn't matter, you know, when you were born, it doesn't matter what field of work you're in. This is just general information and understanding for what millennials are dealing with in today's society, you know, with crazy financial markets, insane amounts of debt. It just goes on and on and on, but kind of to harness back in, it's the availability to lock down a job for 30 years and then, you know, retire when you're 70, or it's a different construct. It's a different state of mind, you know? It's what I feel like today is about, and I'm kind of going from the point of inspiration and I'm doing my best to inspire the listeners and say, you guys can do whatever you want to do. If you're passionate about something, put yourself there. That's really what this comes down to. You know, there's logistics, there's retirement accounts, pensions, all this and that. At the end of the day, do what is going to make you happy. There are so many things available out there for you that if you truly put yourself out there and you say, okay, for example, I want to be in radio, or I want to be in television, or I want to be in art, I want to be in whatever, music, I want to be in construction, I want to be a developer, I want to be in real estate, whatever it is that you want to do, put yourself there. Give yourself a chance to manifest an opportunity. Give yourself at least, like, you know, put the energy to better your life. And another thing that kind of comes into play when talking about this specific topic is the idea of settling. You know, our generation tends to be settling so easily for jobs that they don't like because our parents have encouraged us to, you know, either do what dad did or, you know, go to college, but then have to, you know, pay that back. So then you're stuck in a loan and then try to get a job, or, you know, go out and do something that is strictly about making money. It has nothing to do with, oh, I enjoy being in this environment. I'm passionate about being in this type of environment and working with these beautiful people that I, you know. So what I'm getting at here is, you, regardless of the logistics, you have the opportunity to create a life that best suits your joy. And you just got to put yourself out there.
I mean, that's all good and said.
Right.
But like,
right. I know where you're going.
You get stuck in a job.
So true.
You get stuck in a job, and there's certain things that keep you there. So recently, Uber released this program, whatever, to give scholarships to drivers. That being said, you need to do a lot of rides. It's like you have to work full time, pretty much.
Yeah.
The way that I was breaking it down in my head. Regardless, They're giving full scholarships. So in that
sense, and what is it when they say full scholarships? What does that mean? Full scholarships to schools?
To an online school, exactly. Which is a benefit that is, let's say, $20,000 a year. I don't really know the number for that particular school, but right. Let's just say $20,000. That seems reasonable. Like $20,000 a year benefit is a very good benefit. Like that's almost on par with healthcare. So in a sense, I'm kind of stuck doing that because not stuck in the sense that I like can't do something else. It's that benefit is huge for me right now. Like
right.
that is a life changing thing where I'm willing to put myself into something that I don't hate and I don't love. It's nothing that's moving me forward in a direction that I can make a career from, but it's still right. like that benefit alone is what will keep me going in this job. And I feel exactly. like a lot of people are stuck in like whatever gig that they're doing. It could be anything, but like,
it's true.
How do we as millennials develop our own retirement plan? Like that's the right. question I'm kind of asking is like, I know we can contribute to 401ks and invest and all that's good, but it needs to be like, I feel like more concrete. Like we need to like kind of teach each other as millennials, how do we save money? How do we plan for a retirement that we will not be getting a pension for?
Right. That's a great question. that's a great question. And I think, yeah, I mean, my the first thing that comes to my head is the fact that we are within our lifetimes going to see. Now this is taking a different approach than actually like what you do for a living. This is more based on whatever you do for a living, you're making USD, and then that USD is changing. Its value is diminishing and being transferred into other asset classes. So my answer to that question is, how are we going to see a retirement? So by the time that we are ready to be retired, what's going to be the fiscal state of the USD, right? So what I'm getting at is, by the time that we're ready to retire, I believe, and there's a lot of other, you know, economists and very wealthy, successful business owners and CEOs and people even in government that say we are in a bubble, right? We are in an inevitable bubble that will indeed burst at some point, right? So the USD is the standard currency for all global fiat currencies. A fiat currency is a paper currency. A fiat currency is a currency based on faith, meaning that it is backed by absolutely nothing besides faith. That's why before 1973, when Nixon took us off the dollar standard, before it said, you know, for a $100 bill, it said there is $100 worth of gold backed in the Federal Reserve. Now it says it's backed by the faith or like trust in God. Okay, meaning that the money went from actually having value to absolutely no value. The value is now faith-based, which of course you could say, you know, any value is faith-based. Anything that any society collectively agrees upon to use as currency is faith. They have faith in that currency. Point being, though, we are in such a state of inflation that the faith of the dollar is diminishing substantially. So by the time that we are ready to retire, the fiscal state of the USD is going to be completely different. So what I think it comes down to is, what are the millennials doing now with their USD, with their currency in the United States? What asset classes are they putting that money into, which will essentially be the new form of retirement? You know, investing in asset classes in asset classes that are going to absorb the wealth after the bubble bursts is that's how you get rich. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand or don't realize that there were more millionaires made during the Great Depression than any other time in the history of the U.S. economy. And that's because during the Great Depression, there was a transfer of wealth, a transfer from the asset class being the dollar, the wealth transferred out of the dollar into other asset classes. The people that knew that took their USD before it crashed, before the depression hit, put it into these other asset classes. And then once it crashed, once the bubble burst, all of a sudden these asset classes exploded in value. So they were able to literally, you know, make enough money off of transferring their wealth to last them a lifetime. Point being, we're in the exact same situation. So for us to be able to, you know, retire, I think what it comes down to is understanding and educating ourselves in regards to, you know, what asset classes are going to be absorbing wealth, educating ourselves behind how the monetary system does work, how the Federal Reserve is a private corporation with, you know, shareholders that receive 6% annual dividends. It is a system of deception that is meant to control the people, and they are silently stealing purchasing power each and every single day as they continue to print more and more money. So what I guess what I'm saying is the equivalent to our generation's retirement is educating ourselves as to what asset classes we need to invest in before the dollar bursts.
It's all about gold right now. Gold and platinum. And pretty much anything that can be used in electronics. Like,
right?
We are going to be in an electronic world, and anything that is a conduit. True. Like, anything that is a conduit and can help with the manufacturing of chips and so on. Like, that
silver,
is the asset
gold,
class.
Yeah.
And we totally, have brother. Finite resources for that. What I
exactly.
thought was interesting was Microsoft is actually doing a recycling program where they collect all of the computers. They take it apart for the pieces that can be resold or whatever. And then the chips that have the gold in them, they completely destroy them and take the gold out and whatever platinum, whatever other metal they have in there. And then they put them into new computers. And I think that is such an ingenious idea. But
wow.
If, for example, as not Microsoft, as the average Joe, like, we need to be buying bigger pieces so we can, I don't know, just have something to trade with whatever
yeah.
the, like,
yeah.
that is one of the only, like, tangible global
yes.
currencies. If I
yes.
go to if I go to Austria, my gold will be worth, I'm not saying the same, but it'll be worth something, and it'll be the same in Colombia or whatever.
Exactly.
Kind of like
the equivalent to whatever the USD price is. Like, it'll be translated to, you know, the 100%, bro. And that's why I'm a huge fan of precious metals. Like, I would say I used to be a larger fan of precious metals than cryptocurrency. And then I became a larger fan of cryptocurrency over precious metals. Now I'm totally like half and half, because like I see both, and I just believe, I mean, there's no question that cryptocurrencies are, you know, the currency of the future. And there's absolutely no question. They're going to be, you know, increasing in value as the dollar continues to decrease. But gold and silver has been and will always be the go-to wealth preservation asset class. There is, you can never go wrong.
I mean,
with gold,
I think,
and silver.
I think more so now than any other time, though.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And
because,
yeah, please go on. No, please go on. I was just going to say, and farmland.
I mean, before it
farmland's
was just,
huge.
It was, yeah, I mean, land, like anything
yeah.
property related. That
right.
is, I actually had an Uber passenger the other day that was that built his business from the ground up. He had $20,000 and he bought this literal like dump in the middle of Kansas or something, and fixed it up, started renting, took his rent money, and he was telling me like he built his business in 10 years by just owning like as much land, putting himself on the line and like letting himself be a little bit thin until he could actually like manifest a lot of property. But now it's kind of like that income lasts forever. It's like you just rent it out and you keep renting out more land and more land. And that's, I mean, land is almost as probably one of the most valuable things on this planet right now.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question.
But to go back into our gig economy, it's like, I feel like that's what our generation is going to be like heavily relying on is property.
Yes. And, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the market right now. You know, we are real estate has never been in such a bubble as it is today. I look at, you know, when Trump first got elected into office, there were within the first year 28 record-breaking stock market highs. So, like, point being, with every high, there's a low. I mean, it's Newton's law. With every action, there's an equal and opposite action and reaction. So, with every substantial high, there is a substantial low. With every minimal high, there will be a minimal low. It is the law of balance. It's just the way the universe works. But with there being the highs and the lows and the balance, there's expansion. Every time there's a high and then it goes back low and then it comes back high, it's expanded. So that's the purpose of these fluctuations and volatility is it creates expansion. Without volatility, there would not be expansion. So it's actually a really great thing. But going through the process of those recalibrations is the difficult side of, you know, of the fluctuations of the global financial markets, because what we are seeing is something that has never been seen in the history of money, in the history of humankind. I mean, there has never been so much debt. For those of you out there that have not checked this out, listeners, I've mentioned it multiple times before here on the show. Check this website out. It will blow your mind. usdebtclock.org. That's usdebtclock.org. usdebtclock.org. It is, you know, directly, the information is directly uploaded by the Treasury of the U.S. So basically, you will see how much debt we are in. It is going up $100,000 a second. So if you think about, you know, what an annual salary for someone that is actually doing really well, you know, in today's economy, that's every single second is what we're going up in debt. So and it's exponentially increasing every single day. Point being, there is going to be a burst. There is going to be a point of no return. What's going to happen? I mean, a lot of people saying it's going to be worse than the Great Depression or blah, blah, blah. I don't know. You can't live in fear. That's definitely no way to, you know, live your life. You know, there's a lot of preppers out there and I understand and I get that, but don't live in fear, but prepare yourself by educating yourself as to what asset classes are going to absorb all this debt. One last thing, Colin, it's all yours. I just want to say money is never destroyed. Money is energy. Money is never destroyed. It is only transferred, even if it's debt. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand as well, is regardless of whether it's debt or profit. It is money. It's money that's owed, and it's money that's in circulation. It's part of the binary collective consciousness of the wealth on planet Earth. That money is never destroyed. It is only transferred. And the only way to get rid of the debt is to absorb it into wealth. So that's just something food for thought. Educate yourselves, and we'll see what happens in the next few years.
Well, I think to answer my own question a little bit, we need to specialize, and by that I mean in where to aim your education. Is it doesn't matter what you do generally. Like,
right.
It can be anything.
Right.
Like, let's take video media, for example. That is such a broad range of things. And there's people making a living out there making, like, horrible B-movies, just like, and they're loving it. Like, that's, they make horrible movies that are kind of corny, but people love them.
Right.
And they love it. But then there's also people drawing hentai and making a living off of it and loving it. So it doesn't matter what you do, but just specialize, because the person that's making horrible B movies, it's going to be hard to like start learning how to draw hentai. Like, it's
exactly. Exactly.
And so it's all about specialization in our society. It's about being as specific of a skill as possible and being indispensable in that skill. The more specialized you go, the more money you make. And absolutely. It literally doesn't matter about what it is.
It's so true. It's so true. There is a market for anything and everything that anybody has a desire to do or a passion for. And that really is the truth. And you're absolutely right. It is about being indispensable. You know, educate yourself in something that you're passionate about and put your energy towards being the best at it, right? Obviously, being the best, there's billions of people on the planet. To say that, you know, yeah, what I mean by the best is be your best version of yourself in regards to whatever it is that you're doing. If you decide you want to be something and you decide that this is what you want to do and this is where your heart's at, put all your energy into becoming unique in your craft, and you know, make yourself stand out, make yourself unique in the form that you will be able to open up doors and opportunities for yourself because you've decided to, you know, put 100% of your energy into something. So regardless of what it is that you do, as long as you dedicate yourself to it, stay on track. Don't spread yourself too thin. Don't make commitments that you can't live up to. You know, stick to one or two things that are really just, you know, harness your energy on creating ideally one thing. Put all of your energy into it. Learn how to be the best at it. Work your way up or build yourself up, no matter what it is, whether you're working in a company that you enjoy or whether you are self-employed or whether you are, you know, building your own company, whatever it is. Put yourself in the mindset of becoming the best that you possibly can be. And in doing that, you will, you know, manifest for yourself a life that you deserve, a life where you can provide for yourself and you can support for yourself. You know, we started the show talking about how, you know, our generation is kind of has the shit end of the stick, if you will. Like, we're kind of trapped, right? In the sense of how there's very little opportunity for people that do have college educations to get into the industries that they have degrees in, let alone working for that company for 30 years. The layoffs are just so. What it comes down to, like you said, Colin, is you know, make yourself stand out and make yourself invaluable. Make yourself so dedicated to whatever it is that you're doing, that anybody that you work with can't help but want to assist you in becoming better, if that makes sense. And, assist you in becoming successful.
A little motivational story based on that.
Yeah.
There's this guy who, when he was growing up, like, loved bugs, right? Like, just adored them. And
that's,
all the girls thought he was, thought he was creepy because he played with bugs all the time. Regardless, he was really interested in ants. And eventually, he became, like, he studied ants. He had the highest education of, like, ants. I don't know what the study is called, but, like, literally he studied ants to the full extent. And what he discovered was that essentially that all of America, I don't remember, if it's like some low number, like three to five, I don't remember exactly, but that 3 to 5 colonies of ants are literally spread out around America. And you would be surprised to how many ants there are. They're like, and it's literally like a couple warring colonies to take over the rest of the world. And they made colonies in other countries too. And they're like gangs, but like really far spread gangs. And it's like amazing. And regardless, this guy wouldn't have discovered that unless he literally followed his very specific like study.
And
like, that's the kind of stuff that moves us forward, is those people that are like so into what they do that they study it to the full extent that it is possible to be studied.
Exactly. And that's what pushes the limits of human consciousness. You know, that's what I mean, man, what you just described is a prime metaphor and a prime example of how everything, how the process of evolution works, you know, by people specifically honing in on one craft or one understanding. I mean, that comes down to Tesla, Einstein, I mean, freaking Benjamin Franklin, Christopher Columbus, although he did some really ruthless things. Like, but just the list goes on and on and on. These people, and then even today, Elon Musk, right? Name any of them, Richard Branson, Warren Buffett, although, you know, he just invested a lot of money and, you know, did a lot of startups, but still, he knew what he was doing, and he's an influential character in today's, you know, world when it comes to money and what you can set your mind to. Point being, all of these people had one intention. Mark Zuckerberg, right? All he wanted to do was create this platform, make this platform. Sure, he did it in shady ways, you know, if you saw the movie.
You mean he stole it completely?
Yeah, he completely stole it. Yeah. Exactly, you're right. He did. He absolutely did. Completely stole it. And point being, he was focused on...
I'm going to put all my energy into stealing this idea and making it.
Exactly. You know, and like whether it's that or whether it's something that is morally and ethically honorable, you know, we as human beings have the potential to make a life for ourselves, work in a career and a job path that does bring us joy, that fulfills our hearts and our wallets and our bank accounts and our investments, because that's what this is about. You know, learning how to balance the shift in economy, learning how to balance this tremendous shift in consciousness, in monetary stance, in economics, everything in the world is just changing. And I'm just going on a rant. But unfortunately, Colin, we have come to the conclusion of today's show, ending with once again a rant by yours truly. I love you, brother. I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much, Colin, for tuning in. Guys, make sure to email me if you wanted to talk about anything else on today's show. Hit on any of the topics. You can reach me at davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Also, make sure to check us out on Twitter @GoodVibeStation. Colin, I love you so much, brother. thank you for being on the show, man. It's always a pleasure.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, brother. You as well. And we will definitely be hearing from you soon. Listen up, guys. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next Sunday. Peace.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.